Hello, residents. My name is Mike Estefan, and I'm joined today by Maddie Watts, and thank you for downloading this month's episode of the EM Clerkship Podcast. This episode, like others, is sponsored by Pearson Ravitz Insurance, my personal independent disability insurance agent. We will talk more about Pearson Ravitz later in the episode, but for now, let's just dive right into it. Today is round number 19 of the game with Maddie Watts. Maddie will need to perform today's case in real ABEM oral boards format. She has 15 minutes to complete the full case, and she does not know what this case is ahead of time. If Maddie hits all of the critical actions that I've listed out beforehand, she wins. If she doesn't, or if she performs a dangerous action, I win. These cases were created by me. They are not derived from actual ABEM cases that I had, and they certainly are not real patients. Maddie, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Alrighty. Take out a piece of paper and a pencil. Place the paper sideways in front of you and outline a human body on the left side of it, and let me know when you are ready.
I'm ready to go.
Alrighty. Dr. Watts, this will be a single patient encounter. You will have 15 minutes to complete the case from start to finish. Before we begin, do you have any questions?
Nope.
Alrighty, let me start the timer. And your time has begun. Maddie, you are working at Clerkship General when the next patient is brought into your rack. It is an 8-year-old male with vomiting.
All right, so I walk in the room and what do I see?
You see an uncomfortable appearing 8-year-old male. He seems to be holding his tummy and he is laying on the stretcher next to mom.
All right. And anyone else in the room?
Just mom.
Okay. So I'm going to have my nurse try to start getting him on the monitor and get an opening set of vitals.
Sure. Your opening set of vitals is a heart rate of 119. A respiratory rate of 20, a blood pressure of 104 over 63, an O2 set of 99% on room air.
Okay, and can we get a temperature as well?
Oh, sorry, forgot about that. The temperature is 98 Fahrenheit.
All right. Hi, Mom. My name is Dr. Watts. It's nice to meet you. This is your son. Can you tell me what brought him in today?
Yeah, sure. My son, honestly, I don't know too much about what's going on. We woke up together just fine earlier today, and my son was fine. So I sent him to school. Nothing was wrong. I got a call from the school nurse about an hour ago that he was vomiting and that I needed to pick him up. So we're here. He apparently vomited as soon as he got to school, and he spent some time in the nurse's office. They tried to get him feeling better, but they couldn't. So here we are.
Got it. Has he been complaining of any abdominal pain since you picked him up?
My tummy hurts.
Okay. All right. And before we get too into the history from today, what medical problems does he have, if any?
He has a history of type 1 diabetes.
Got it. And does he have any other medical conditions or has he ever had surgery?
He has no other medical problems that I know of. And I'm his mother. I know everything. And he has never had surgery before.
Okay. And what medications does he take?
He takes insulin.
Okay. And he usually handles that himself, or you and the school nurse handle it for him? How does that typically go?
Usually it's dad and the school nurse.
Okay. Got it. And any allergies to medications that he has or foods?
Yeah, he doesn't do too well with Zofran.
Okay. What happens with Zofran?
He breaks out in a nasty rash.
Okay. All right. And what's your son's name?
Jacob.
All right. Hi, Jacob. I'm sorry you're not feeling well today. Tell me what happened.
My tummy hurts.
Okay. And you've been throwing up?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you been having diarrhea as well?
No.
Okay. Do you remember the last time you went poop?
No.
Okay. Have you eaten anything yet today?
breakfast.
Okay. And you started throwing up right after breakfast?
Well, he ate breakfast at home with us. So it was sometime after breakfast. I'm not too sure.
Got it. Okay. And you said before going to school and yesterday throughout the day, he was feeling completely like himself?
Yeah. He was acting normally. You know, he had a play date with one of his friends. He had absolutely no complaints.
Okay, got it. Any fevers or chills that the school nurse told you about or that you noticed?
Nope.
Okay, got it. All right. I'm going to have my nurse start working on a point of care blood sugar, and then I'm going to do my physical exam. So starting off, looking at him, does he appear pale?
No, he has normal pallor.
Okay. And he has good capillary refill, good skin turgor.
Correct.
Okay. Listening to his heart and lungs, does he have a regular rate and rhythm, clear lungs?
Yes, he does.
Okay. And then for abdominal exam, I palpate each of the four quadrants. Does he have any tenderness?
He seems to have some right lower quadrant tenderness.
Okay. Got it. Does he have any rebound or guarding?
He seems to be guarding the entire time voluntarily.
Okay. Got it. Okay. And then I have him roll on his left side and pull his right leg back while it's extended. Does that reproduce the pain?
He isn't really letting you pull on his legs.
Okay. Got it.
Says that hurts his tummy too much.
Okay. And when I tap on the end of his shoe, does that cause pain or discomfort or rock the bed?
No.
Okay. And then I have him sit up and test for CVA tenderness bilaterally. Does he have any tenderness?
No CVA tenderness.
Okay. Jacob, there's one other thing. I do need to do a testicular exam to make sure that this is not the cause of your pain. I'll have your mom here in the room as well. But I do need to examine that just to make sure that we have a full exam. So, I do a testicular exam. Does he have any asymmetric swelling, tenderness, enlargement of one of the testes?
Yes. He has a high riding enlarged right testicle with pain out of proportion to palpation.
Oh, okay. And then I check cremasteric reflexes bilaterally.
He has an absent cremasteric reflex on the right side.
Okay. All right. And then did we get that point of care blood sugar?
Yes, it was 124.
Okay, great. All right. So, Mom, I'm concerned about his testicular exam. He has some swelling of the right testes, and I'm concerned that he could be having something called testicular torsion. Which is a surgical emergency if it's present. So I'd really like him to get an ultrasound as soon as possible to determine that. And I'm also fairly concerned that I want to call urology and have them come take a look as well. Has he had any history of any testicular procedures? I know you said no surgeries, but both of his testes were descended at birth that you know of?
Yeah, as far as I know, everything's been good down there.
Okay. All right. So
my tummy.
And then, we can give him some Toradol for pain. Let's go ahead and establish an IV. Cause I do think we're going to need one. And, then we can give him, 10 milligrams of Toradol.
IV?
Yes.
Okay. 10 milligrams of IV Toradol has been given.
Okay. And then can I go ahead and page urology, for testicular torsion?
Okay. Urology has been paged. They'll get back to you as soon as they can.
Okay. And then I'd like to put in a stat ultrasound of the right testes.
Okay. And we will get that done as soon as possible.
And while we have IV access, I'd also like to draw a CBC, a BMP, a CRP, and then if we can get a UA as well, if he's able to urinate for us.
Sure. Okay. While those are cooking, urology calls back. Ring, ring. This is urology.
Hey, this is Dr. Watts out in the ED. I have an 8-year-old male who presented today from school with acute onset right-sided abdominal pain and vomiting. And on exam, he has a high-riding, tense right testes with absent cremasteric reflex. I was not able to calculate the twist or off the top of my head, but I think it'd be pretty high, and I'm concerned enough that I would like you guys to go ahead and evaluate him. I did put in for a testicular ultrasound, but I wanted to get you guys on board as soon as possible due to high clinical suspicion.
Sure. That sounds like torsion. How long has he been torsed for?
It started earlier today. He was vomiting after he went to school, but I'll clarify with mom the exact timeline.
Okay. Why don't you admit him to medicine? We'll get to him first thing in the morning. I'll add him on first thing in the morning, okay?
Well, I'm pretty concerned given that this just happened today. I do think he needs to go to the OR today.
Okay, well, why don't we find out how long he's been torsed for?
Okay, sounds good. I will let you, I'll figure that out and call you back.
Okay.
So I go talk with mom. I know that the symptoms began after you dropped him off at school. Do you have any idea how long the symptoms have been going on for, if the school nurse let you know?
She said that he started vomiting around 10 a.m. and it looks like it's about 4 p.m. right now.
Okay. So we're right about at 6 hours. So I'll talk with urology again.
Ring, ring. It's urology.
Hey, so mom said symptoms began around 10 a.m., so about 6 hours ago. I know that's usually your cutoff, but I wanted to go ahead and talk with you guys about trying to get him to the OR still.
All right. Why don't you try to manually detorse him? I'll be in as soon as possible. I'm dealing with another emergency. I'll be there in under an hour.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
All right.
So I go back and evaluate the patient. Has his pain improved at all with the Toradol?
Tell me better.
Okay. And then mom, he does have what appears to be testicular torsion. We haven't had a chance to confirm on ultrasound, but given his exam, I'm concerned. And so is the urology team. They're going to try to come in within the next hour and talk to you guys about, potentially taking him to the operating room. Basically, what happens is one of the testicles twists on its blood supply and then it is not able to get good blood flow. It's important to try to reduce that as soon as possible. So while we're waiting for urology, they recommended that I go ahead and try to manipulate the testicle so that he can get good blood flow. This may be fairly painful, but it can also be fairly quick. So since he's feeling better, I'd like to give it a try.
Well, you're going to give him something more for pain, right? More than IV ibuprofen?
Yeah.
That sounds really painful.
Yeah, we can give him some more medicine for pain. So we can do, what's his weight?
The child weighs, let's say, 30 kilograms.
Okay. We can do one mic per kilo of fentanyl. So like roughly 30 mics for him. And we can give that and then try the manipulation.
Okay. Describe the procedure.
So I am going to take the testes and try to rotate from medial to lateral, I believe, and just apply slow, constant pressure.
Okay. The child seems to have some improvement of pain. The testicle descends a little bit, but it's still high riding.
Try the same thing again.
And you can't untwist it anymore. Labs are coming back. Your CBC showed a white count of 11.8, a hemoglobin of 13.1, platelet count of 185. His BMP showed a sodium of 135, a potassium of 3.0, a chloride of 102, a bicarb of 23, glucose of 124, and then renal function was normal, and his CRP was also normal.
Okay, and then did we get the UA?
UA showed no ketones, no white blood cells, no red blood cells, negative leukoaspirase, and nitrate negative.
Okay, got it. So was just trying to make sure he didn't have any other pathologies going on. It doesn't appear that he's in DKA. He does not appear to have an associated urinary tract infection. CRP was kind of for appendicitis. So we will await urology and see if they are able to take him to the OR. Can we get a repeat set of vitals?
Repeat set of vitals. Heart rate of 104, respiratory rate of 18, blood pressure 104 over 63, O2 still 99% on room air. Urology walks into the room. Oh, geez, yeah, that testicle's twisted. Let's take him to the OR. Is there anything else you want to do before your case is over? You have 30 seconds.
Nope, I think I'm good.
All right. And that ends your case. Before we go through how you did, let's talk about our sponsor for the month, Pearson Ravitz Insurance. Pearson Ravitz is my own personal disability insurance broker. Stephanie Pearson is a former practicing OBGYN who was unfortunately injured on the job and could no longer work in her usual capacity as a surgeon. She had disability insurance, but struggled through the disability claims process to obtain the benefits that she deserved. After her long, drawn-out fight, she vowed to help other physicians prevent the same struggle she had gone through, and alongside Scott Ravitz, formed Pearson Ravitz in 2017 in the city of Philadelphia. Now, Pearson Ravitz helps thousands of medical professionals like you and me obtain own occupation disability insurance. Please do not wait until it's too late. Check out Pearson Ravitz at www.pearsonravitz.com and schedule a consultation appointment today. Don't forget to mention EM Clerkship if you do. And now, back to our episode. So, Maddie, that went pretty good, don't you think?
I think so, but I'm always a little suspicious.
All right. Why don't you run through the case from your perspective?
Yeah. So, 8-year-old with vomiting, and then you find out he's a type 1 diabetic. So I'm automatically thinking, is he in DKA or not? However, that would be too easy. but then I always have to think about he could be in DKA and have something else that put him into DKA. But thinking about general belly pain stuff like appendicitis, gastroenteritis, bowel obstruction, things like that, urinary tract infection, kidney stone, a little less common in boys of this age. But the thing that is most important that I have forgotten before is to do a testicular exam, especially because boys around this age are not going to be likely to tell you what's going on. So that really clinched the diagnosis.
Yes, I completely agree. Any kid, I would say, you know, anyone under the age of 18 with lower abdominal pain, you got to do a GU exam. They're going to be super shy about telling you that their testicle hurts. And sometimes, you know, people don't even realize that their testicle hurts. And sometimes with just lower abdominal pain in general, it's even good to do a GU exam and just make sure you're not missing that torsion. So I completely agree. Was there anything you weren't really sure about or that you think you could have done better?
Well, normally I use MD Calc on my phone to do the twist score. And I'm pretty sure he had a greater than 6, which at least at our facility is like a call urology. They don't need an ultrasound. They go straight to the OR. And then I know that less than 6 hours is kind of the goal, but I can't remember. I think there's like a separate category for like 6 to 18 hours. That you can still have testicular viability, but I can't really remember like what all of the like the OR indications and when it's too late. So that was what I was kind of struggling with.
We'll go through that in a second. Let's go through the critical actions. For the record, you did wonderful. You passed this case with flying colors. There was one non-critical action that I think you could have improved your score with in this case, but you certainly still did great and you would have passed with flying colors. Your five critical actions: number one, obtain an AccuCheck in a type 1 diabetic with vomiting, which you did. Number two, treat the patient's pain, which you needed a little prompting. My tummy hurts.
Yeah.
But you did. Number three, diagnose testicular torsion clinically. I wasn't going to give you the ultrasound, no matter how many times you asked. Number four, stat urology consult based on clinical concern, which you did. And number five, attempt and describe the detorsion manually with the open book method, which you did, and you did it correctly. So you passed this case. The only thing that could have been improved on, and this was kind of snuck there at the end, but do you remember the kid's BMP results?
His sodium was 135, which I thought was fine because his sugar was fine. His K was like 3, so I was going to maybe replete his K.
Yeah, that would be the only thing. I mean, you know how people can get, I don't want to say certain specialties, but there are certain specialties that, you know, K's got to be greater than 4. Oh, it's a pre-op patient, gotta optimize those electrolytes. So a little potassium repletement definitely wouldn't have hurt you here.
Yeah.
But, you know, then that brings up the question, you know, this kid's going to the OR, we got to keep them NPO. Are we really going to torture this kid with IV potassium?
Yeah.
You know? So just something to think about, but you did great. I did want to talk about a couple things with torsion. But let's start with, what you were talking about, the time frame for successful salvage of a torus testicle.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned 6 hours is what you think is probably ideal, within 6 hours, and then there might be salvage up to what did you say, 18 hours?
Yeah, that's what I had in my brain. I have no idea if that's
okay.
Right.
yeah. So I think we're all taught kind of different numbers. Really, I think clinically the good rule of thumb is that there is a realistic shot of salvaging any testicle within that first 24 hours, like a solid shot, even at the later end of that time window. So to give you real numbers, I'm citing numbers from a systematic review that I found while preparing for this case. They kind of looked at 30 different studies and combined all the data from those 30 different studies to come up with a percent chance of salvage. And they cited a salvage rate of 90% in the first 12 hours, 54%,
wow.
Yeah, 54% in hours 13 through 24, and then a whopping 24% hours 25 through 48, which I imagine most of that salvage is like hours 25, 26, 27, and 28.
Mm-hmm.
And my hypothesis from reading this data and reading this paper is that all these cases where we're seeing prolonged salvage rates aren't true 100%, you know, blockage of the arterial blood flow to the testicle. Either it's like 98, 99% blocked, or there is intermittent detorsion there.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, with these, just as a whole, these broad cases of testicular torsion, there is a significant chance of salvage, even exceeding 24 hours. So I would always talk to urology about this. I've seen cases in residency where we thought the testicle was dead. And these are like, you know, pediatric specialty hospitals. And then I read the op note later and it's like they salvaged the test. It's just like magic. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. I'll put the PubMed ID for anyone who's interested in reading the same literature I did for this. I'll put it in the show notes. So we talked about that. You kind of already mentioned some of the differential for pediatric vomiting. There's one other cause that I think is really important to think about of pediatric vomiting, specifically without diarrhea and without belly pain. Does that set any red flags off in your mind? Kid comes in, they're vomiting, they don't have diarrhea, they don't have belly pain, they're not having fevers.
Certainly ingestion, but I feel like this kid's a little old for that.
This is like a read my mind question.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm okay. Reading your mind.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of my PEDS mentors in residency would always drill this into me, but you always have to at least consider intracranial stuff.
You know,
like head trauma or masses. When a kid comes in just profusely vomiting for no reason and you don't have any other explanation, it doesn't seem to be infectious, it isn't related to like undiagnosed diabetes, they're having no belly pain, it's not intra-abdominal, it's just something to always think about so that you don't miss.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Maddie, what are your thoughts on the cremasteric reflex as a test?
So I believe it's part of the TWIST score, but I know it can be inaccurate. And I've certainly had times where I'm trying not to stroke someone's thigh anymore because it's getting weird, but I haven't gotten a reliable reflex and otherwise their exam is normal. So I think if they have it on one side and they don't on the other and there's findings on that side, like everything kind of fits together. But if it's not there and you don't have any other concerning findings, I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk. But that's just my impression.
Yeah. I mean, in general, if somebody has other signs of torsion and they have an absent cremasteric, that's concerning. But I really only, in my clinical practice, I really only care about it for documentation reasons. It doesn't really affect what I do. So many people don't have cremasteric reflexes at baseline. You know, whether they're torsed or untorsed. And there are many documented cases of testicular torsion where there is an intact cremasteric reflex. So it doesn't really help you one way or the other, but we're all taught about it. And I'm sure those shark hungry lawyers are going to be looking for that in your documentation. So I think it's important to document, but in reality, it doesn't really change my clinical practice too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last question for you, what are your thoughts on ultrasound for torsion?
So we kind of have a protocol where either there's minimal to no signs and you're not concerned, you have high clinical concern and you call urology, and then the intermediate is ultrasound. And a lot of times I do feel like that's helpful because they can sometimes see signs concerning for epididymitis or hydrocele or other things that might explain why you're having exam findings. So I do think that it's helpful in the intermediate zone for confirmation or identification of another etiology. But what I always was taught is if you have high enough clinical concern, then you need to be calling urology and they need to go straight to the OR. They don't need to be waiting in the ultrasound lobby for 3 hours.
Yeah. I pretty much agree with that. Essentially, ultrasound is not needed for diagnosis. This can be a clinical diagnosis. The numbers I found online, ultrasound seems to be about 85% sensitive, so it will miss some cases, but it's nearly 100% specific. So if you have a positive ultrasound, that's pretty much torsion guaranteed. But a negative ultrasound with high pretest probability does not rule out torsion. And I completely agree. If you examine that testicle, it looks torsed. An ultrasound is not going to change your management. They need to go to the OR immediately.
Yep.
Well, that's all I have for you today, Maddie. Want to give us an update on what's going on in your residency?
Yeah. So I'm on EMS this month, which I think has been really fun. I have gotten to do some 911 dispatch, ride with EMS, ride with fire, ride in the helicopter, do some event medicine. So it's been really cool. It's just reminded me how cool our specialty is. And yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, EMS was pretty awesome. I remember it from my residency. It was a very nice insight into the kind of situations that our pre-hospital providers deal with. And it was also nice to have somewhat of a lighter rotation for once.
Yes.
And get a little time to breathe between, you know, six shifts a week of emergency medicine.
Yeah, I've had every weekend off. And it's beautiful. It's made me realize this is what people everywhere else in the world do on a regular basis, and they still complain about work. You know, it's wild.
Yeah, but we have the privilege of getting to do some pretty special things, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
despite definitely. How much we have to work to do it. Well, I certainly can't believe that you are just a few months now from being a PGY3.
Like, I know.
I literally remember when we were interviewing candidates to be the next victim, and you were still a med student. You sent us your like video application. That feels like a couple months ago.
And I know.
Like a couple months from now, you're going to be applying to jobs, Maddie. This is crazy.
I know.
Is absolutely crazy.
It, trust me, I feel the same way. It's a really weird feeling, and I'm sure there are plenty of listeners who are in that position where your life has been so structured for so long and you know all the next steps just because this is such a long process. And then it feels like the little feeder stream comes out into a giant lake and you're like, I can do anything and everything and go anywhere. And it's just, whoa.
Yep. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. As usual, my email is mike@emclerkship.com.
And my email is maddie@emclerkship.com.
Send us emails, particularly if you have any questions you would like answered on the deep dive, if you have any comments or feedback for Maddie or I, or if you have any sinister ideas on ways we can further torture Maddie. Until next month, keep working hard, keep studying, and be sure to enjoy your shift.